Good evening, everyone. I guess I should say good evening, church, right? But that was already taken. It is good to see all of you out here this evening, especially for our guests. We are thankful that you are here, and we hope that you feel comfortable. If you have any questions about anything we do, why we do what we do, we would be glad to answer those questions, and we sure hope that you will come back at any time that you have opportunity to join us. I appreciate the work that Tom did in putting this song service together. He talked with me a little bit about the general thoughts I wanted to share this evening, and so it all came together very nicely, and I appreciate his work not only this month, but every month that he does with this. We hope that this service has been encouraging to us as a family about our relationship together here at Eastland, that we can continue to grow together in love and appreciation for one another. Just reviewing a little bit of what we have been looking at and thinking about tonight. First, we looked at Ephesians 4, and Ephesians 4 verses 1 and 3 again say, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace," and us working together to keep that unity of spirit in the bond of peace, to have the love for one another. Toward the end of that passage that was read, verses 15 and 16 talks about, "But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things in Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." The reason why God has put us together as the family of God is that we need each other, and there's this body image that is talked about here, how we are joined and knit together, and that every joint supplies a certain part of what we all need together, and then every part is expected to do its share so that we can grow together. And that imagery leads us to the second part, which was the reading from 1 Corinthians 12, and a more broad analogy of the parts of the body and how the parts of the body should view each other in a beneficial way and work together in a beneficial way. Within that passage, verses 18 through 20 again, "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body." And it talks about the fact that we need all of these different parts. And the body doesn't make any sense if we don't have all of these different parts that do complementary things working together to help one another. And all of those parts are needed. All of those parts are valuable. We need to appreciate the things that everyone else brings to the table, the things that everyone else contributes to the functioning of the body, not be jealous of one another or not want to be some other part or some other function that is not how we've been brought together, but rather appreciate and work together in love and in harmony so that the body does everything and functions as we should. Another place where that's talked about, if you would, turn over to Romans 12. We didn't have that reading for tonight, and I would just share this as an additional way in which Paul describes this relationship. Starting in verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy and part of the gifts that are being talked about in this context are the miraculous spiritual gifts that they had at this time, but it still makes full application to us with the different abilities that we have that we bring to the table today. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering, he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. These are all different commands that if we abide in them, we end up figuring out how to work together in love and harmony and contribute to the health of the body of Christ. And so that brings us to the third section in which we looked at the parable of the talents. And we have the question, okay, what abilities has God given you to be part of this body? What is it that God is expecting you to do from the abilities he's given? And what does God expect you to develop as your abilities over time to apply yourself? In that parable, there were some that were given five, there were some that were given two, there were some that were given one. There are differences in abilities that end up happening from person to person according to whatever God has granted. Yet we're not involved in comparing with each other. The person that got two did not sit there and say, uh-oh, I'm not keeping up with the five. I'm not doing whatever is of the five or whatnot. It wasn't a comparison situation. It was God has the expectations. What he's given you to bring to the table, he's expecting you to work with and develop and grow and improve and bring back to him. And so the question is, with what God has given you, are you employing that? Are you using that in a manner that is helping to build up this body, is helping to encourage our fellow members throughout this body? Are you functioning as the ankle in a way that the body's not going to fall over if you're not doing your job? And all those different parts that we need. And the person who ended up having one talent ended up having a wrong focus, was looking externally, was seeing it negatively, and all these things. And as a result, whether it was comparing to others or just being afraid or whatever the case may be, wasn't applying the talent, and as a result was rejected. But we need to consider, what are we contributing? How is it that we should be contributing? And let's consider one more thing. Where will Eastland be in 10 years? Where will Eastland be in 10 years? Are we going to be stronger? And where will you be in 10 years in helping Eastland to become stronger, to build up the body of Christ in this time that we have? How are you going to grow and develop so that 10 years from now you are, if the Lord wills you to be here, you are helping the body to be functioning the way it should, even stronger than today? That's one of the reasons why we snuck in the song the army of our Lord, which may have been new to some of you. But verse 1, O men of age, O men of youth, lift up your idle swords. That is, of any age, we need to be getting to the work. Come fight with us who fight for truth, the army of the Lord. And in verse 3, our elders long in battle years, alas, begin to fade, but from the ranks young men appear and lead their first crusade. Is the next generation stepping up and developing the talents that need to develop in order to keep the cause of Christ moving forward? So 10 years, 20 years from now, we're in even stronger shape. That's the call from these passages and from this song. In a minute, we're going to sing an invitation song, but it's going to be an unusual invitation song. It is a song called We Are One. We Are One is going to be displayed on the screen, and it is one that we've sung a time or two here before, but it really kind of ties in all of the thoughts we've been trying to think about tonight into a final song of unity together. But I want to say it's not a traditional invitation song, so I guess get over that. Nonetheless, I would invite, anyway, if you're not part of the body, then you need to think about becoming part of the body. And if you are part of the body, but you haven't been applying your talents, you need to be thinking about how you are going to start applying your talents toward the building up of the body of Christ. And if there's any way that we can help you publicly with those concerns, we'd be glad to do so during this song. But before we sing the song, I just want to read the lyrics so that you're more familiar with the sentiment as we sing it. The chorus itself says, we are one as we serve in truth and perfect love, all united in the mind with him above. And the particular verses say, in the body of the Lord, we are bound in unity. Just as we are one with God, you are also part of me. Second verse, we are members of his church, made to fill each different role. When we use our gifts for him, then our work builds up the whole, all of us together. Third verse, when you serve where I cannot, I rejoice in what he's planned. By your strength, our work is done, and we follow his command. Thus we bear each other's loads till we rest with him above. All together we can serve, joined in labor, faith, and love. Let us stand and sing this song together.